Right quick like this morning, I'm not going to take long, I promise, but I am going to preach the whole Old Testament, and then I'm going to preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then I'm going to preach Acts and Romans, but I won't be long. This week in thinking about things, especially things that are coming, we are what they call in the holiday season. And I know Thanksgiving is first. It amazes me. You can go into these stores and Christmas is blew up. We ain't even got through Thanksgiving yet and they're already promoting Christmas. I believe we need to slow down just a little bit and be thankful before we get to Christmas. It seems like this world don't want to stop and be thankful for anything, especially what God's done for them. And I believe a lot of times we as Christians, we get caught up and they'll say, now I'm not saying Christmas is a bad thing because I know what Christmas is. But I believe that we need to slow down and be thankful for what God's done for us during this Thanksgiving season before we look to what Christmas is or what we make Christmas out to be. And let's just be honest. Most of us make Christmas to be this big thing about presents and decorations and all this other stuff and not what it really is. It really is the birth and Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about a fat man in a red suit. It's not about the Grinch. It's not about a man in a green suit. Say amen, buddy. But in studying this week and thinking about it, I was thinking about the holiday season. And the other day I saw a manger scene, me and my wife did. We saw a manger scene and she wanted to buy it. She loves the manger scene, I do too, but she wanted to buy it. So we asked about it and stuff and went on. And I thought, you know, the manger scene is something great. It really is. Don't downplay that. But I can't help. I can't help but think about the manger scene and what it did and what it was. But on the flip side of that, I can't help but think about the cross of Calvary. Amen. A little bit more, because see, the cross of Calvary was where my sin debt was paid. Amen. The cross of Calvary, and because of the cross of Calvary, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, and now whosoever will, let him come. Yeah. Not trying to downplay the birth, but I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on the cross. And I want to look at the cross of Calvary. Now, if you want to, you can flip in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. That's the chapter that we're going to read, the verses that we're going to read. Probably just read maybe just one or two verses in 1 Corinthians. We'll start reading at verse number 9. The Bible says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith he is altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Chapter 9, yeah. Sorry, I thought I told you. Chapter 9. I'm looking here at the other side. Now, I want you to understand something here. And I want you to pay close attention to what we just read. The Bible says here in verse number 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Thank you, you can be seated. You say, preacher, how in the world do you get the cross of Calvary out of these verses that you read? Well, first of all, if we go back, the Bible says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? I want to look at that right there and just say this. God took care of our problem on the cross of Calvary. I was reading this scripture and stuff, and I was thinking about this, and I thought, how in the world can we talk about the cross with this? But this is the verses that come to mind, because see, the Bible says that God took care or takes care of the oxen. Well, I can't help but think, if you go back to the cross of Calvary, that's where God took care of every problem that man has. Now, I know in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 1, somewhere along the line of verse number 9, I think it says, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And I want to say today, listen, right quick like, and I promise I'm not going to be long, but right quick like, I want to say, thank God for the cross of Calvary. You say, how can you preach the cross of Calvary in the Old Testament? Well, in studying this week, I found out that the Old Testament, we see the prophecy and the preparation of the cross. The Bible says in the Old Testament, it tells us how that Jesus was going to come. He was going to be buried. Going to be born. He was going to walk here. And he was going to go to a place called Calvary and die on a cross. So we see that in the Old Testament, it's the prophecy of it. And it's the preparation of it. And the preparing of it. And they're telling us about it. And they're telling us what is going to take place. It amazes me. Now think about this. It amazes me, honestly, how God can give something to somebody that knows nothing about it, and they can prophesy about the cross. We got a bunch of nuts out here today prophesying about other things. But I'm glad that when God gave it to these men, they wrote it down. And it told us about the cross of Calvary. And then you come to the Gospels where you look at the Gospels, and each one of them have a different writing and stuff. A lot of it's the same, but some of it's different. And what the Gospels are doing is they are telling us about the performance of the cross. They're telling us what happened there, and they're telling us about the performance of it and what's going to take place and different situations that they saw and stuff. It's telling us about the performance of the cross. And if you don't believe me, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of them have something in there about the cross of Calvary. And most of the stories are some of them are kind of exactly the same. But each one of them have just a little bit different sayings about the cross. But you know what they're all doing? They're all telling us about the performance of the cross. And then you come to the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, you see the preeminence of the cross. You see what it is, and you see what's happened, and you see what happens at the cross. Then you come to the book of Romans, and this is one of my favorite things. When you come to the book of Romans, it tells us about the power of the cross. Amen. In the book of Romans, it tells us how to be saved. And that tells us about the power of the cross. And then here in 1 Corinthians, you see the preaching of the cross. And then here you come to chapter number 9 and verse number 9 and verse number 10 and verse number 11. And it tells us about God taking care of us and the protection of the cross. I want you to know, church, listen to me, listen well. It's because of the cross of Calvary and what happened at the cross of Calvary. That's the reason God protects us and watches over us. It's because of the cross. Let me get to the preaching here right quick, like. Number one, write this down. You know what the preaching of the cross does? Number one, it salutes the Savior. It salutes the Savior. The preaching of the cross ought to be all about Jesus Christ. It ought to be all about what God done for us. It ought to be all about Him paying a sin debt He did not owe. It ought to salute Jesus Christ. We went yesterday, me and Tammy did, out doing a little bit of Christmas shopping. We got down to JCPenney's, and I always buy the girls some jewelry and stuff. And they know that it's coming. They just don't know what it is. So yesterday, we get down there to JCPenney's, and we're looking. And the first thing that I walk over to this case, and I'm looking in, you know what I see on that case? I see crosses on a necklace. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, that's fine. I mean, I don't like the crosses that still have Jesus on there because He's not still on the cross. There's a lot of people today that wear them. And I'm going to say this. If you got one and He's still on the cross, throw it away. Go get your money for it or something because He's not on the cross no more. But the crosses and stuff, I thought that's okay. You know why? Because it can represent what Jesus has done for us, and you can witness to people by wearing a cross. But I want to say to you today, listen, the cross of Calvary and the preaching of the cross of Calvary and everything we do in our life when we have a cross, it ought to salute Jesus Christ and not yourself. We ought to be uplifting what He done for us on Calvary. We ought to be thanking God for what He done for us on Calvary. The preaching of the cross ought to salute the Savior. You all know what a lot. I seen one man standing there yesterday. And he was trying on necklace after necklace after necklace. He had two little kids with him and stuff. And he'd get one, he'd put it on, he'd look at himself in the mirror and stuff. You know, and he'd kind of prance around a little bit and everything. He'd take it off and he'd put it back and he'd put another one on and he'd look at it and stuff. And I thought, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to make himself look good. That's what he's trying to do. Now, I granted, we ought to try our best to look good when we go out and do things, stuff like that. I'm not saying that. But listen, if it's all about you, there's a problem. If you got this big old huge chain and stuff and it draws attention to you and you're not using it for Jesus Christ, there's a problem. And I believe so many times in our life, Brother Justin, we get things and we try our best to uplift man and uplift what we can do and what we got and everything else. And we ought to be lifted up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The day and time we're living in, we'll lift up everything else, but we're not lifting up Jesus. The preaching of the cross ought to salute the Savior. Number two, write this down. The preaching of the cross ought to separate society. If we can have somebody, whether it be me or whether it be somebody else, stand up here and preach Calvary and preach the cross, and it don't do anything for you, you've got too comfortable in society. Brother Brian Ford, the other night, we went over to revival and we heard him preach. Brother Brian Ford made this statement, something along this line. God gave me this thought. Don't lay your head in the lap of the devil. He was talking about Samson and stuff, and he made some kind of statement. Like, I went up to him after church was over. I said, "Hey, I want you to know you've done a good job." I said, and God gave me a good thought out of that. I said, he told me, "Don't lay your head in the lap of the devil." Brother Brian said, "Hey, I may have to preach that." I said, "That's fine. When you do, give me the message when it's over with." But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, we've got so comfortable in society that we'll sit down right beside the devil, and it don't make us uncomfortable. It don't bother us. It don't do anything to us. The preaching of the cross ought to separate us from society. They ought to know that it's a difference. Preaching of the cross ought to salute the Savior, separate society. Not only that, though, preaching of the cross ought to stabilize your soul. Think about that for just a minute. It ought to stabilize your soul. If you've been to the cross of Calvary, you don't have to worry about anything. Amen? And I'm not trying to downplay this. I'm not trying to downplay anything. But it amazes me how people get so caught up and so worried about stuff, and they just fret over it and everything. Hey, go back to Calvary. Everything you need, everything that you'll face, you'll find at Calvary. I went in there this morning. I sat down this morning because I forgot I had a bill due today. And you know, they will charge you late payments. I found that out. I had one due last month that I didn't even know we had. They charged me $35. I got a thing on the email, and I thought, what in the world's going on? I forgot I had the bill. So I called them up, paid it and stuff. Took care of it. This morning, I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, Lord, I got a bill due. So I went in there, and I sat down, and I paid that bill. And I got up, and I walked in there after I was getting dressed. I told Tammy and him, I said, well, bill's paid. Feels good. You ever get to where you worry about things? You ever get to where you just kind of fret over things? Thanks to Brother Bud said it, I believe, this morning in Sunday school. Women, y'all please forgive me here, but I'm going to go ahead and say that y'all the world's worst. Women worry about everything. Men, Brother Bud said it this morning, just kind of rolls off our back. 90% of the time. Now, it's not always that way. Some women don't, but listen. And women, I'm not putting you down. I'm not, I promise. But you ought to have, if you've got a man, he ought to worry about things and make it where you don't have to worry about them. If he's doing his job, he's taking care of his wife. He's taking care of his problems. But I'm glad that when things come my way and I start to worry about things, Brother Justin, I'm glad I can go back to the cross of Calvary, and it gives me the security and the assurance that everything's going to be all right. The preaching of the cross ought to salute the Savior, separate society. It ought to stabilize your soul. Preaching of the cross ought to satisfy the saint. You know, we ought to be able to get up every service and preach about the cross of Calvary, and everybody ought to be satisfied with that. Last of all, the preaching of the cross ought to save sinners. Amen. It was because of the cross of Calvary that I'm saved. Amen. Not anything that I've done, not anything you've done, but it's because of the cross of Calvary. If somebody gets saved, they're going to have to go to Calvary. If somebody's going to get saved, it's because some preacher somewhere, some deacon, some song, something told them about the cross of Calvary. That's how you get saved. I'm going to ask you a question right quick like this morning. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to Calvary? When's the last time you took a trip to Calvary? Sometimes I like to go just to get refreshed. just to get renewed, just to remember what God done for me. I don't want to ever forget about the cross of Calvary. Because the cross of Calvary is the reason that I'm a child of God. And I can see the goodness of God in the cross of Calvary. You can come panning this morning and get a song. I'm done. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for another day. Lord, I thank you, God, for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the few minutes we had this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, it's passed by this way. God, I pray today, Lord, you just search the hearts of the people. Lord, there may be some sitting here this morning, Lord, that's hurting. Some that's sitting here, Lord, that's facing problems, Lord, they don't understand. Some facing situations, God, Lord, that they don't know the answer to. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'd just be with them today. Lead us and guide us always, Lord, and forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' precious name. So I'll stand this morning. If you need